Welcome to another edition of Podcast Open Mic. I'm your host, Lorenzo. This is Podcast Open Mic number 4. And I have Tom DeMena with me, who is going to be part of WMPG soon. Is that true?
Yeah, as soon as I do my first training, I guess I'll officially be a member of the family.
Great.
But I'm really excited about it. I just haven't been able to do it yet.
Now, where are you from originally?
I'm from Connecticut, Darien, Connecticut, and I have lived in Brooklyn, New York with my wife over the last couple months. We moved to Portland, and very much enjoying the transition from the Brooklyn, New York craziness.
Yeah, my daughter moved from Queens to Cape Elizabeth.
Okay.
So, yeah, cultural change there.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. How'd you discover WMPG?
I love the radio. My first, I fell in love with 88.3, the Yarmouth W2 stuff that they do. And I thought that was really cool. I think my wife and I were kind of, lost in this time capsule of Maine. In our first month, we had just that radio station going and feeling like we were in another dimension or something. Mm-hmm. And everything was so romantic and beautiful here. And then I finally just, explored a little bit more and found 90.9. And I was like, oh, wow, this is great. This is me. And I just love the radio. It's like a friend.
Great.
Yeah.
So how long have you been playing?
I've been playing since college.
Okay.
I was a football player in college, and I had a hard time playing football. And the guitar, my brother played guitar, and my mother's a cabaret singer. My sister's a musician and a singer. But I never really did it. And then when football was really kind of not working out for me, I found the guitar, and a lot of my time was spent playing the guitar just as a kind of self-medication.
Great.
Yeah.
So you brought a recording called In My Cage. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, I recently met Chris Smither, who's a hero of mine. I've been interested in being a singer-songwriter ever since I heard him. And I work as the bartender at the local venue in Portland, One Longfellow Square, really with the dream that maybe Chris Smither might come. I swear that. And when my wife said that we were going to maybe be moving to Portland because she was kind of interested in the grad school here, I thought maybe I'll work at one of those venues that Chris Smither goes to. And that's really like my whole impetus for like, all right, let's go to Portland. And it happened. I got the job at the venue that I wanted to work at, and then he came. And, when you meet somebody that you just talk about all the time and he means a lot to you. And it's overwhelming when that person just walks in the door and then you're the one that's responsible for, like, setting up their green room and, parking their car. And, you're trying to be professional and a stranger, but you have your whole... There's all this emotional stuff that's going on, but just on a cellular level, you're close to this person that means everything to you. So it's very hard. And there was a lot of positives that came out of it, but I really felt like a very profound sadness at the end of it. And as is often the case, I just find myself in my room playing guitar, and I thought, this is worth writing a song about. So,
did you have a lot of interaction with him?
Yeah, I did. I was able to get more out of it towards the end of the night because my wife came in and got a book of his lyrics that he was selling, and she asked him to sign it. And I was bartending at the time, but it was a sold out event, and she was like, my husband's right behind you. He loves you. She did all the stuff that I, needed to kind of just, prep him for me. And then, at the end of the night, we got a chance to really to talk and that was really nice. That was, you know, it wasn't enough. Nothing could be enough, but it was really, sure. It was really nice.
Well, it's nice because sometimes you hear, you know, you don't meet your idols.
Sure.
But this one worked out for you.
Yeah, I was very scared about that. And I don't know. I just, you know, sometimes you just feel like, I know this is going to be really hard, but I got to do this. And something's going to come out of this. And I wasn't expecting this, like a song. I was expecting more of a, I don't know, mythological, you know, conversation between elder and young man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so In My Cage.
I live my whole life inside of a cage, trying to pretend I'm not I just met my savior, a real truth sayer who I talk about all the time. I never felt so confined to my cage. I said, Father, tell me what have can't you me sing your song? But how could he hear me? He was so busy and I was well out of range. Even God can't hear you inside of a cage.
So is this available anywhere, the song? Or?
No. Nope.
Okay.
You know, I did comedy for a long time in New York and in L.A., and that was my presence online for a while. And I've only recently decided to make music a focus. And I'm hesitant to put anything out there. Because it's very difficult to feel good about what you've recorded, and I'm, you know, just starting to really learn all that stuff. This was the first recording where I recorded myself. You know, it's very difficult to record yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first one where I thought, you know, you have this whole system of self-criticism, and This one, all that stuff was much more quiet than it has been in the past. And, you know, I don't know. I'm banking on that distribution of my music to work itself out. But right now, I would just like to feel good about it myself, you know, and this was a first milestone for me in that regard.
Oh, great. Might you get back into comedy in Portland as well? Or?
I don't know.
Was it stand-up?
No, it was slightly musical. I did a one-man show as the ghost of Telly Savalas.
Oh.
Me and a friend of mine who I befriended at the Upright Citizens Brigade Improv Theater in New York came up with this idea of Telly Savalas coming back from the dead to educate the youth of today about, you know, fallen customs of masculinity and romance and, you know, like in this kind of digital era where, you know, young guys are kind of playing video games and kind of aren't really sure who to look to for guidance. I don't know, confidence, you know, we thought it'd be really funny to bring back a TV actor who thought he was a really great singer, but wasn't, but, you know, it seems to just ooze this kind of simultaneously playful, aggrandizing narcissism that's somehow, I don't know, funny and playful and not, you know, I don't know, somehow it just all worked. And the show became a bigger hit than I was expecting. Not that it was like at Madison Square Garden, but it's off Broadway and took up a big portion of my life. And it was its own experience. And then I don't know, it led me to music somehow. Somehow pretending to be like a good singer, or to play as someone that was not good at music compelled me to want to actually be a musician. That's the only way I can explain it, I guess.
Well, thank you for tipping your musical toe into the water here.
Well, thank
you. On Podcast Overnight, and we look forward to hearing you on WMPG.
Thank you so much, Lorenzo. I love being here.
Okay, and if you'd like to perform a song and talk about it here, drop me a line at podcastopenmic, that's M-I-C, at gmail.com, and we'll chat. This is Lorenzo Raffa, and we'll talk again soon.